Mark McMillan, Mighty Mouse, joining us here. We'll go ahead and get a headset on you, Mark, and get you locked and loaded for this one. We were talking to you, though, before we had you come on. You haven't been out here to Circa before, man.
I have not been out to Circa. I am, like, excited. Then you guys like, hey, you want to hang around? I'm like, absolutely, I want to hang around.
How's life for you? I mean, you're out in Vegas. We can talk Chiefs Raiders, of course, here in a bit. Yeah. But you got a lot going on. I know you got an event tomorrow you're doing. We got the Grill and McMillan spices and everything.
Man, it's going good here in Vegas, man. Obviously, doing ESPN Radio here. I do Raider Nation Radio. And I do the Raiders pre- and post-game show every Sunday morning, too. So I got a lot on my plate, along with the Grill and McMillan spices as well. So just got word that Flankers, where I'm doing the Grill and McMillan deal at, bought all the sauce in Nevada.
Oh, really?
Sold out. You can't get it on the shelves right now. So that's great.
That's good news for you.
That's great news
Congrats.
For me. That's great news. So I'm excited about that, man. But like I said, Vegas is – it's always something going on in Vegas, man. You can bet that there's a hockey or – you know, there's. I just went to a golf tournament, the Shriners golf tournament last week. You got the WNBA just finished up. You got the Raiders. You got concerts. This is the Mecca, man. I know a lot of people like Vegas, but this is a sports town.
When did you move out here? I mean, I guess how many years has it been? Because it wasn't that long ago where, you know, sports blending with betting, you know, is taboo for these leagues and everything. And now everybody's joining together.
Oh, man. I've been here for like 3 years now. And just going back and forth. Moved here with my family. Randall Cunningham is my pastor. So he's like, man, what are you doing in Arizona? He said, you've been there for like 20-something years, so, you know, I got a family there and got my grandkids there. But when I moved here, man, just doors just start opening up. Obviously, the more sports are here, the more opportunities for me. And you bring in F1, I had an opportunity to go to F1 last year.
Oh, I got to ask you about that.
Incredible. Like, it is something that – it is the who's who event. You know, it is stars from all over that you see around F1. And, you know, last weekend I was just at the NASCAR race at the South Point 400. I was grilling for over 100 people. So I'm in the NASCAR space as well, man. I became really good friends with Kyle Larson's right-hand man. So we always texting and seeing. Hopefully Kyle can win the championship this year. But, man, I'm just trying to use my platform and see if I can just be a blessing to as many people as I can.
We'll ask you about the Raiders and the Chiefs game, obviously, here in just a second.
We don't really got to worry
about it. You love to cook. He doesn't cook at all. Convince him he needs to cook food by himself.
You're in Kansas City and you don't cook, man.
It's just me, Mark. That's part. It's easy for me just to
get an air fryer.
Yeah. Well, I have an air fryer. Okay. I got a Traeger as well. I just don't use it very often.
Come on.
Yeah. It's got cobwebs.
You just push the button and just let it go. Like you put your chips in and you just push it and let it go.
Oh, I know it. I know it. I love when I use it. Some of it, admittedly, Mark. Some of it's a little laziness because, like, so Cody's married with kids and stuff. For me,
so you cook.
Yeah, like, and for me, there's. I'm sure it's wrong because if I truly, you know, whether it's meal prep or actually use leftovers and stuff. But for me, sometimes I'm like, by the time I go out and buy a whole brisket to smoke and stuff, I'm like, it's more money. It's just me eating. I don't have any kids. I'm not married. So I don't know. That's part of it.
Well, you're an eligible bachelor out there, right. Man. You know, man. No,
they like cook, man.
Ladies, if you're listening, he's eligible out there.
He can't cook, but he's nice.
Oh,
and that's
my
all right,
goodness.
But maybe a woman, she's like, you know, I'll do all the cooking. You just, you know, just get on the radio and do your thing. We'll go to a Chief game every now and then. Trust me, they're out there, man. But it's easy, man. And I love doing cooking demos, obviously being on the show with Gordon Ramsay, Next Level Chef. A couple years ago, kind of like really opened up people's eyes to be like, wow, this dude can really.
How was that? So you were on the reality TV show. Yep. Was it other celebrities as well? Is that the whole setup or was it just.
I was. There were actually professional chefs and then there were like social media chefs, social media influencers. And I was the only athlete on the show. And it took like a year to even get to that process. Of being on the show. The show was filmed in London, England.
Oh, okay.
So people they just thought we filmed it in Vegas, but we were in London, England filming the show, and I was the first actually athlete to be on the Next Level Chef. So hopefully it'll open up more doors for other guys. But just being on that show, man, I had a blast. You know, I know a lot of people was like, does he you know, you got to watch it. You got to watch the first episode.
Did he chew you out?
No, he didn't chew me out.
Okay.
And I almost blew up the set the first episode. I almost blew up the set. And what really got our viewership up was it was the number one rated reality show ever because it was right after the Super Bowl. And it was on Fox. Yeah. So normally the Super Bowl is on CBS, but it was on Fox, so right after the Super Bowl, and I couldn't tell anybody. Boom. It led into me almost blowing up the kitchen, and everybody would start texting us like, "Yo, dog, did you see the Super? Did you see the game?" I was like, "Yeah, I wanted the Eagles to win because that's my first team, but it's good to see the Chiefs win." But after that, the phone just started going crazy. It's like, "Dude, was that you almost blowing up the kitchen with Gordon Ramsay?" So it was a great experience, man.
That's a wild turn of events. Since you cover the Raiders, look, maybe we're being too critical because we're in Kansas City. But, I mean, do they have anyone who's good outside of Max Crosby and Brock Bowers? Is that the two?
That's the two. You know, Wilkinson got hurt. You know, really coming on, really good player. Ja'Cory and Bennett, he's their third. He's the other nickelback. Well, he's the nickel slash corner, number zero. A young guy, a really good player, really gets after it. But besides that, man, it is really hard to pick some players. But Brock Bowers, man, I'm telling you, you'll see Sunday, this dude is –
he's a beast.
He's the real deal, and he's exciting to watch. Everybody knows about Max Crosby. They know the beef with him and Patrick Mahomes. it's going to be a great matchup. But just watching the way Max goes about his business every day, like I said, I played with Reggie White. I played with Derek Thomas. This guy has that same kind of DNA and playmaking ability to be one of those guys. And he'll be in the Hall of Fame one day because he's that kind of player.
He seems like he wants to be great. Like, their whole thing between the two of them is, I'm going to be great today, and I'm going to prevent you from being great today.
Yes.
Which I like. I don't care. Like, if they're going to be a little chippy with each other, that just comes from both guys wanting to win so bad they don't care. Like, that one bothers me less than practice squad players trying to make puppet jokes, right?
They were poking the bear. So, you know, when you have great players going against each other, it's a competition. You know, when we're playing against the Broncos, obviously, you know, Ed McCaffrey, Rod Smith, John Elway, you know, we wanted to get after those guys, you know, because you know he's the best. So we want to prove that, you know, we want to prove our armor as well. So being competitive like that, I know Max is going to bring out the best in Pat because Pat knows he's going to be on his tail. And, you know, he's going to bring out the best in Max because Max is going to try to get him. So it's going to be a great matchup, but – everybody thinks Tom Brady's going to come out of the woodwork to be the quarterback. And I was like, he's not going to save the team. I was like, he got so many restrictions. How is he even being in the booth?
Crazy is, so for those listening, obviously Tom Brady's now minority owner with the Raiders. Yeah. We were saying, like, should he be allowed to broadcast whatever? His job is way tougher as a broadcaster now because he's not allowed to do the meetings and actually go in facilities and things like that.
Can't be critical of the team on TV. So it's like, bruh. I know they gave him 200-something million, but he got 200-something million to get in. So no money was really out of his pocket.
Genius, right?
Yeah.
Genius.
Smart. It's like last night, right, if he was calling the game. He's supposed to call the game and be like, it looks pretty clean to me. What do you mean?
He's got his face mask
ripped off? He's just supposed to say nothing?
Yeah.
Like, what constitutes as critical of the ref versus being like, that is not the correct call.
And hopefully they will understand, like, he did call it right, but there's no way, like you said, he could look at that call and be like, oh, my gosh, that was, you know, I didn't see it.
It's not being critical of a ref if you're just like, yeah, they missed the face mask call.
Yeah,
it's there, and they missed it.
That was so bad, though. That was really a blatant face mask call, which is so bad. Right now, the officiating is – I know this guy's got a tough job. But come on, you're in the if you got to go to the replay, they got one of the biggest TV screens in the NFL, so you can't see that. And the guy was looking right at him. But it's tough being a referee, but at the same time, man, you got to get calls like that right because Minnesota they could have went down and possibly scored. But the Rams look good last night, though. When you get the Nakua and you get Cooper Kupp back.
Totally different offense.
Yeah, so it was – and they still beat the Raiders without those two guys. So that just goes to show you what kind of team they're working with out here.
You ever say something you shouldn't do, a ref?
Me? Oh, yeah. I always tell that story about when I was with the Eagles and we played the 49ers, and it was a really tough game. You know, John Taylor, Jerry Rice, me and Eric Allen on the corner, we're battling it out. And the referee was just like, he was just jiving us. And I ripped him something terrible. And the odd thing about it, the girl I was dating back then in California, she worked with his wife at a law firm.
No way.
So she calls me that Monday. She's like, what did you say to that ref? Like, I was like, what are you talking about? Because who calls and say, what do you say to the ref? She's like, I work with his wife.
You're like, oh.
Because I said some really bad stuff to this guy. Like, I almost wished death on him that day.
We got Mark McMillan hanging out with us here in Vegas on 96.5 The Fan. Your tweet you sent out this morning, a lot of, I think, Chiefs fans were enjoying, brought us some childhood memories. Yeah. It was, for those that don't know, if Mark McMillan on Twitter, you put out, it was an old Chiefs, Kansas City Star, Chiefs Extra cover, right? And it was definitely very 90s. I mean, the artwork and everything. So Chiefs Raiders. I know right now we've got the Kermit the Frog stuff out there. All right, that's one thing, but you can speak to this. Chiefs Raiders, this rivalry, you played in it.
Yeah.
What kind of memories come back?
Great memories because we always beat them. some really good memories, especially in Oakland. You know, that was, man, it was some really good battles in Oakland because you knew the black hole was, it was different. And the stadium, and we always played them at night, so people were drinking all day. We got so much stuff thrown at our buses that was probably coming out of these guys' butthole. and it was bad stuff. So it was great, man. I recall the Monday night game. We played them, and Andre Rossi caught the winning touchdown in the end zone from Gerbach. That game, the atmosphere was so good. Me and Dale and James Hasty, we had a really good game, and this fan was just riding me like for the whole fourth quarter. And our benches were right there by the stadium in Oakland, and he was just riding me. And I was like, normally I kind of phase it out, but he started talking about my mom.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, oh, I can't let this ride. I can't let this ride. So I just go over and just start yelling at him. And the police officers, because they had a ton of police in Oakland, they started pulling me back. And this guy just kept going on.
Oh, they're pulling you back.
They're pulling me back. I went to the stands. I was like in his face. I was in his face going at it, and they pulling me back. And then I think he tried to kick. He tried to kick me, and that's when they yoked him over the fence. And then they hog-tied him. And when they're dragging him out, I was right here in his ear. You mother bloop, bloop, bloop. I was giving him the business. But it was a great rivalry. God rest his soul, Marty Schottenheimer did not like the Raiders.
Yeah, the story was like top down. Every member of the organization is like, we hate him. You need to know we hate him. Everyone should know we hate him.
Yes.
Like, is that the, like, when Marty Schottenheimer do like a separate speech that week just about like,
and Marty cried.
This team?
He cried every Monday, and you knew it was Raider week. In the team meeting, he was getting so fired up. And of course, you know, Marcus Allen had that little chip about it as well, and he was a little quiet every Raider week. You know, obviously you wanted to stick it to him, but like I said, it was like me born into the Auburn-Alabama rivalry because I grew up a Raider fan in L.A. And now all of a sudden I go to Kansas City and I'm like, you mother, I can't stand you. But it was a great rivalry, man. And it was physical. Guys just really got after it. I think these guys kind of, I wouldn't say like Kansas City, kind of don't know the history of it because they know the magnitude of it. But the Raider players, I don't think those guys really know the magnitude of this rivalry and what it really means to football.
Rivalries a lot of times I feel like are based in like when the teams are good.
Yeah.
You know, like in those times, both those teams were competitive.
Yeah.
Like right now, the Raiders have been a few years removed from the level of competitiveness.
They did beat them last year in Arrowhead.
They did.
Which
and
is crazy.
I think that adds some juice.
We talked about all week.
Yeah, they did. Jack Jones has been chirping a little bit. So that's going to be interesting to see how he plays. Tackling is an issue for the Chiefs, so we'll see how that works. I know Kareem Hunt is running really well.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are really not talking about that. They're talking about, you know, B-Hop coming over. But, man, Kareem Hunt is filled in really well. We know he's not Pacheco. But inside that red zone, man, he is a load to bring down.
Is Antonio Pierce still really popular in the building still?
You know what?
The interim stuff, it always has like a little bit, right? It goes for a bit.
No,
it wore off. The hangover.
It wore off, man. It wore off real quick. I wasn't a big fan of the lowriders and the commercials and all the rah-rah. This is the NFL. I don't see any coach, maybe the Eagles coach, because he was chirping back at the fans. You know, like it's just like, come on. Like, this is, you're not going to see Big Red chirping at the fans or sitting there with in a lowrider, 6'4", throwing up gang signs. You know, it's just a different breed. But, you know, these players seem like they kind of cool with that. I was like, no, at the end of the day, dude, this is your job. This is football. Like, you got to freaking win some games or you're not going to be in the league for long. So, Raider fans, they're fed up. You know, obviously, they'll probably give them another year. But me, I just don't like all the hoopla around the team when you're not winning.
Yeah, you can handle when you're winning.
Yeah, when you're winning, you know, you can do a little talk a little bit, chirp a little bit. But when you're getting drug week in and week out, and your quarterback is Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, who's not going to play, and then you pick up Desmond Ridder from the Cardinals, like, it's like, who are these guys? And, you know, I know a lot of people, when I get on radio, I tell it like it is. And people, they respect that, because I'm not going to sit there like, oh, you know, there's an opportunity. No. They need a quarterback. They need to step up. And I always praise the defense because they do come to play. But as far as the offensive side of the ball, man, it just can't get rid of Josh Jacobs. And then you bring in Zaire from Georgia, who's still hurt. So it's just so much disarray. You look at the Chiefs and what they do. Okay, we see Derrick Henry running real good. They're in the AFC. Okay, we're going to get hot. We're going to go get some players, you know, so they get it. You know, the teams that's trying to win, they get it.
This defense for Kansas City has been kind of carrying them too as well, as we're talking to Mark McMillan here on 96.5 The Fan. You played the position, so I want to ask you about Trent McDuffie. We think he's top two corner, if not maybe the best corner in football right now.
Oh, big fan of McDuffie since his days at Washington. He played with a good friend of mine, Elijah Molden, who played at Washington as well. So I had a chance to see him last year in the Super Bowl when he was here. Obviously, he didn't know who I was, but I just said, hey, man, you don't know who I am. My name is Mark McMillan, but I am a big fan of yours because he plays the game kind of like I played the game. You know, he's not the biggest corner, but he's smart. He's always around the ball. He's instinctive, and he's just a dog, man. He's just a dog in that secondary, and I love seeing him play.
He lives in the hip pocket. I think that's what it is. He's never more than 6 inches away from the guy, even if he makes the catch.
Yeah, and like I said,
that's a hard thing to do.
He studies his film. He studies his keys. He's a pro's pro. He takes it personal. You can see he takes it. A guy catches the ball on him, he is pissed. It could be a hitch route. He is pissed. So, you know, a lot of people don't talk about as much as the Mahomes not having a statistical year, but how about Spags in this defense and what they're able to do, plug and play, and just get after it. Chris Jones is just a man among boys. He's not like the superstar that you talk about at Max Crosby, but if you're on the opposing teams, you know you start with Chris Jones. We got to stop him first.
I mean, he's one of the best defensive players in the league. Like, yes. Max Crosby deserves to be in there, but, like, it's always hard because people don't – like, you can speak to this. An interior pass rush is worth more than a guy coming from the outside.
Yeah.
When you wreck it from the inside, which Chris Jones does a majority of the time, the rest of the offense doesn't function the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
No offense is designed to handle pressure from the middle.
Yeah, and that's a key. If you have a guy that can get in the middle, push that guard back, or push that center back into the quarterback's face, make them a little bit uncomfortable, you know, they have a big advantage. Obviously, on the outside, you can kind of put a tight end over there. You can put a running back to kind of chip them a little bit. But in the interior, man, it is just man on man. And Chris Jones is a man. He is a grown man in there. And like I said, I still rock with the Chiefs, man. I'm a big fan of them. Like I said, the city's always welcomed me back. I, you know, shout out to my man, Dana Hughes. He's probably out there listening.
Yeah, Dana, he joins us every week. Obviously, he's right on the station for the Chiefs Radio Network. Yeah. Thinking of that, you got something going on tomorrow here in Vegas. A lot of Chiefs fans.
Yes.
We were saying we think there's going to be like 60, 70% Chiefs fans in that building. I don't know if you agree with that, but it's Arrowhead West, Mark.
It might be closer
to
70.
Okay.
It might be closer to 70. Even the Cleveland Browns, when they came out
here, Cleveland?
Cleveland traveled well. And then the Steelers, you thought you were in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
There was a lot of terrible towels out there. So it's Vegas. The weather's nice. That flight is, what, like an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours. Chiefs Kingdom's going to show up, man. That's one good thing about playing in Kansas City. The fans always traveled. They're really behind their team. Obviously, playing with the Eagles travel as well. There's a lot of good teams. But Kansas City is almost – it reminded me of a college atmosphere. You know, we were the only show in town. The Royals were okay. But the atmosphere in Arrowhead Stadium, I'll tell anybody, if you've never been to Arrowhead Stadium – on a night game or a Monday night game, you are missing out. So hopefully I can get back to a game this year. And I love tailgating. Like, they do it right in KC, man.
No question.
Whole pigs be out there, man.
Tomorrow afternoon, you've got something going on, right?
Yeah, I'll be at Flankers, me and Dana Hughes. They're coming from the plane to Flankers inside Mandalay Bay. So we'll be there from 11 to 6. We got a Grilla McMillan menu that the chef Michael has prepared for everybody. So there's a burnt-in salad.
Oh, yeah.
There's some barbecue smoked ribs. There's some Boom fries because I have a seasoning called Boom 3.0. And then he got an apple cranberry cobbler for dessert with vanilla bean ice cream. So you got burnt-ins. You got ribs. Oh, you got smoked macaroni and cheese.
There we go.
As well. So I was like, okay, it's Kansas City. We got to get some Kansas City vibe in here. So you can't go wrong with ribs, burn-ins, mac and cheese.
Plenty to eat throughout the weekend here in Las Vegas. Mark, great to have you on the show, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys having me.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.